الحمد لله، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبيه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، إن صحيح البخاري أن مسلم ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was the most generous man. He was the most generous in Ramadan when Jibreel عليه السلام would come down and review the Quran with him. Jibreel would come down and review the Quran with him every single night during the night of Ramadan. When Jibreel عليه السلام would come and review the Quran with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was more generous than the free blowing wind. He was more generous than the free blowing wind. Why did Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma compare the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the free blowing wind? That's number one, to show you how quick and fast and speedy he's hastened to give charity. The speed of wind. It's also number two, to show you that he didn't discriminate. Wind touches everyone. And that's how the charity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it touched everyone. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, I wish for one to be generous in Ramadan to follow in accordance with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because many get occupied with worship and neglect the charity aspect. We mentioned in previous khawatir that how the Salaf said that Quran and charity in Ramadan have no third to them, meaning they have no equivalent to them. And when you're dealing with Allah, it's not about giving a lot. It's about giving, even if it's not a lot. $1 could be worth more than $1,000,000. The hadith, Sunan Nasa'i, سَبَقَ دِرْهَمٌ مِئَةَ أَلْفَ دِرْهَمٌ. $1 can get you more reward than $5,000,000. If all you have is $2, you gave $1, you've given half your wealth. For a millionaire to get the same reward you got, he's got to give millions in order for him to give half his wealth. And all that, when you give charity, keep in mind, you should be humble. You should feel honored that you are allowed to give. You should be overwhelmed that Allah gave you and you gave for the sake of Allah. And you should be ecstatic that someone accepted. What I'm saying is, you're only really doing yourself a favor. فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. The poor beggar, if he doesn't get it from you, Allah is going to provide him. Feel honored that Allah honored you by allowing you to give him. What I'm saying is, give and say thank you to the one you gave. And say alhamdulillah to Allah. You're not doing nobody but yourself a favor. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ سَيَّهِ. Also keep in mind, don't belittle anything. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma used to carry sugar, which would possibly be interpreted today to mean like a candy. They would say, why would you give this in charity? He said, because I love it. And Allah said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not reach birr unless you give that which you love. And I love sweets. Umar gave one time a grape. They said, a grape? That doesn't quench a thirst or fill a stomach. He said, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Allah on the scale will bring something that is a mustard seed weight. This grape, he told them, is more than a mustard seed weight. We told you how Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu read the verse, who will loan Allah a goodly loan. مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah wants a loan from us? The Prophet said, yes. He said, give me your hand, O Prophet of Allah. I give you my date of orchard where his house was on, and it was the best of many properties he's owned. He told his wife, we've given this to Allah and the Prophet ﷺ. She took her kids, she took that food out of her kids' mouth and pockets and put it down. Give with kindness and secrecy, and don't let anyone feel you're above them. The wealth you have isn't even yours. Don't think it's your wealth. In many verses in the Quran, you will find Allah attributes this wealth to himself. But then there's some verses where it attributes the wealth to us. There's no conflict. It's your wealth. It's Allah's wealth, but it's yours to be tested with. That's why it's yours. To be tested and nothing else. Don't be materialistic and say, I'm poor. Don't ever do that, because you're a walking millionaire even if you don't have a penny in your pocket or you're in your accounts. I read statistics where they said a heart transplant costs more than $1 million. A kidney transplant costs close to $1 million. An eye transplant costs nearly $500,000. Your ear, $1 million. Your hearing, $1 million. Your eye, $1 million. Your eyesight, $1 million. I used to know, you're a walking millionaire. You're a walking billionaire, actually. I used to know a man many years ago. He was a multimillionaire. And he had an accident. When he used the bathroom, they had this little plastic pouch on his side where the waste would go in it. And he has to empty it. He has to go to the bathroom and empty that pouch. They tried to do many operations, but they were all unsuccessful. He said, wallah, if I can give all my millions and borrow millions more, equivalent to them, to fix this, I would do it. What is he trying to do? He's willing to pay millions and borrow millions more. You know why? So he can sit on the toilet. Don't look at your account for your measure and level of wealth. Go look in the mirror. You're a walking billionaire. Wallahi, you are more than a multi-billionaire just with La ilaha illallah in your heart. Be generous. In this month, be generous with the wealth Allah gave you. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet gave an oath. Wallahi, he said, wallahi, wallahi ma naqasa malun min sadaqa. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he gave an oath. And in Sahih Muslim, it's the same without an oath. Your wealth will never become less when you give it in charity. Do you believe your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he speaks? He said, wallahi, your wealth does not become any less than when you gave charity. If you gave it for charity. You have doubts? This is when your belief in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to a test. The purification you get out of the charity you give is a sufficient return. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّهِمْ بِهَا. Purification. Your charity is a purification for your wealth, a purification for your health, a purification for your iman, a purification for your deeds. If you have 500 and you gave 100 in charity, wallahi al-azim, your wealth didn't become any less. Well, how you say that? You became 400. I can only say wallahi because my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us it's not going to become any less. And I trust him just as we all do trust him more than we trust our own selves. Humans are prone to wanting to see their cash with their eyes, in ledgers, in accounts, in their pockets. A charity you gave is means that Allah will save you from possibly health ailments. Maybe a mere cold you were going to get. You gave that 100 sincerely for Allah. You would have probably got a cold. You have to go buy medicine. Days off work. You got to go to a doctor's visit. Not mention the agony. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. Allah promised you. When you pay, you're going to be recompensated. Allah said it. You gave 100 in charity. Your money, wallahi, didn't become any less. It was probably maybe a speeding ticket you were going to get. Rather than go to a speeding ticket and go and agonize over it, it went to such a good cause. Maybe your son, your wife, may Allah protect you and guard you from all that. Maybe they were going to get sick. Maybe a tragedy or calamity. Your intention was so sincere in the 100 for Allah that He saved you from severe hardship. And rest assured, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an oath that your wealth will not become any less, it's not going to become any less. When Allah promised فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ that He's going to recompensate, you better believe He's going to recompensate. When the generous recompensates, know that He's going to recompensate because He is Al-Kareem, the All-Generous. And let me say, among the best charities in these blessed days, and that I want to draw your attention to, is for those neglected families who have a member in prison. We have an epidemic. Many brothers, Muslims, going to prison. And sisters and families behind are getting neglected by this ummah. A few days ago, a sister called me. And her name's Salim. Many of you know her. She's a niqabi revert with two kids. One of her kids needs a special constant supervision and attention. Her husband went to prison. To this day, wallahi, I don't even know exactly why he's in prison. It doesn't really actually matter to me, and I don't really care. We have a Muslim sister who's a reaver, with no roof overhead, no food for her children, no food in their mouth. And as you know, we collected for her. I called the brothers on to collect for her twice. And the brothers and sisters were very generous in responding. And especially our brothers and sisters on Twitter, may Allah reward them. I will never forget them. Over the course of the past months, she tried to go to her local masjid to get something to help her. The officials there told her, we're not going to help you. She kept contacting them. They gave her official response, we're not going to help her. Finally, she said, let me talk to the imam. She spoke to the imam a few days ago. She said, why are you afraid? The media or the FBI? He said, we don't care about the media, it's the FBI. She said, go ask the FBI. If they say it's an issue, then I can agree, reject me. If they say it's illegal, then reject me. The imam hung up on her face. I ask Allah, the Azeem, the Haleem, that those who let Muslims down, such as this one, in such difficulties, that Allah let them down when they so mostly need that desperate help from Allah. We talk about tyrants in our countries. We have those who run our masajid over here with a right iron fist that Mubarak and Abdullah and Qaddafi put together couldn't do what they do. This ummah needs to revive its upbringing and thinking, to revive their thinking in accordance with Tawheed. The entire way of thinking needs to change. That gutterish way of thinking needs to be refurbished by the Tawheed way of thinking. This woman, if she goes back to her family, if she goes back to her church, she's going to get a house and a food. I guarantee you that. The Jehovah Witnesses will give her that and more. But this pathetic ummah abandoned her and let her down. So when she becomes Christian or whatever it is, who's going to be responsible before Allah? Who's going to be responsible that her kids and her sleep hungry? This is just an example, and I only mention it because I was just informed that she talked to the imam a few days ago. But there's many I can state, many with examples and precise examples in masjid that this goes on. These are sisters whose husbands are in prison. You disagree, you agree with their husband. You condone, you don't. That's not even an issue. That's not what we're talking about. This has to do with families being abandoned. They are in desperate need. The fear in the heart over such matters like this, legal or not legal, she told him, go ask. If they tell you it's illegal, I can accept it. That's a sufficient response to me. I don't want the masjid in any kind of problem. She told him that. I don't want no one in any problem. But if they say okay, then go ahead, then help me. This is from the devil and the devilish thinking of them. The devils are shackled, so it's their devilish thinking. Inna madhalikum ash-shaytan yukhawifu awliya. The shaitan suggests this type of fear to his awliya, to his supporters. The devils have been shackled, but there's other devils who are running around, unfortunately, head in masajid. Among the best channels of zakah in this Ramadan, is to search for a family who's widowed by a husband who's in prison. That's like a widow. She's like a widow. In your community, in your surrounding, try to do it yourself, directly between you and that family. Such a good feeling when you go and hand them the zakah yourself. Go to them, give them the charity, and tell them, this is for food. If you're afraid, tell them this is for food and rent. Tell them that if you're afraid. Wallahi, you will see the effect of that charity on your life, in this life, before the life after. Why I specify this? As always, I raise issues and awareness to unpopular and neglected matters. It's a farz. I have to do it. Likewise, just like Ibn Taymiyyah, in like this matter, Ibn Taymiyyah said, the best of all obligation is to secure the release of prisoners. And I'm going to say, in this day and age, among the best charities, and pertaining to charities, is to give your zakah to such families and to prisoners. And to prisoners. Let me add prisoners. What do I mean? Most haven't been in prison. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, none of you see it. Don't think that one in prison can spend. They can spend and they can get necessary survival items like soup, a tuna, soap. Because the food over there at times is not eatable. You wouldn't eat it. Nobody can eat it. And whether you agree with them or disagree with them, again, this has nothing to do with it. We must feed the captive. Those who come to kill us, when the Prophet ﷺ, during his time, They came to kill him. They came to annihilate him. And he ordered that they be fed the best of food. The Sahaba gave him the best food they had, better than what they ate. I met many in prison who were for drugs and crimes and murder, who turned to Islam. Who turned to Islam. When I seen how good they were, I asked them, how did your iman get to this level? They say, Sheikh, we made mistakes. We lost this life. We're going to die possibly in here. So we want to go from here to Firdaus. Wallahi, one of them pointed, he said, I want to go from here to Firdaus. You can walk up to your refrigerator. You can go to your local market in the gas station, get a little snack and come back. But your brothers behind four walls sleep with a hungry stomach. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They give food in spite of their love and need for it. For the love of Allah. Miskeen. They give it to the miskeen, to the poor. They give it to the orphan, yatim. They give it to Asir. Allah specified it in the Quran. When this was revealed, it was Mekki, Surah Makkiyah. There was no captives. Muslims were not captive. Some of the scholars said this was talking about non-Muslim captives. If Allah told us to feed and make sure the non-Muslim captives who came and to kill and annihilate us are well fed, then imagine how it is for the believers who are held captives with non-Muslims. With no mediator, go find a list of prisoners, look up a list, and give them $5 or $10 each or $20 each. That may not be significant here, but there it is behind the walls. Wallahi, we would not accept a non-believer who fought us and tried to kill us to sleep hungry. Would you accept it for one who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? The beauty of this is the secrecy of it. When I was in Saudiya, when I was in Medina studying, there was a student, one of my best friends. We would go to the market together. And his family were not that rich, but they sent him every month some amount of money. So we would go to the supermarket. And over there, it's common that the local neighborhood supermarket, you go by, there's a trust factor there. You go by the whole month, and at the end of the month, you go pay. They record it in a notebook, and they pay at the end of the month. This friend of mine used to take what his family gave him of money, set it aside, not spend it on himself, and he'd go to the market, the local neighborhood market. He said, is there anyone struggling? They can't pay. They're giving you a hard time. One time, he said, there was a widow. She has a few kids. So he took out the money and paid it, the monthly thing. It was probably a few months that she hasn't paid. No one knew. He told the owner, don't tell nobody. Just tell her the amount has been paid. When we returned one time again, sometime thereafter, he said that lady, the widow, came to pay. And I told her it's been paid. And she stood there crying and making dua for the one who paid that amount, that monthly amount. In Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a man gave a camel as charity with the halter rope on it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you get 700 camels in Jannah with halter ropes on them. Meaning they're ready. They're ready. 700 camels in Jannah, ready for you to ride them and enjoy the scenery of Jannah. When you're stingy, you're only stingy on yourself in charity. It's only on yourself. Look at the verse. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Whatever you spend in charity of good is for yourself. So when you hold back and you're stingy and giving others, you're being stingy on yourself. Because Allah said, فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. It's for yourself. In Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, one who takes care of an orphan or a widow is like a mujahid. Or like one who prays all night long and fasts all day long. What's the difference between a widow and a woman whose husband is in prison? Allah gave a prostitute forgiveness because she took a drink of water to a dog. So imagine if you feed a hungry inmate or a hungry family or bring shelter to any of that.